Psalm 24:1. We'll start there this morning. Have a couple questions that we will ask. If you would be kind to strive to answer them, that would be helpful this morning. Psalm 24:1, though, says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those that dwell therein." And then we will come up with some more verses here in just a little bit. But if you could have any car. Yes, ma'am. Psalm 24, verse 1. I'm sorry. If you could have any car, no matter the cost, what would it be? A what? What's it called? A Lincoln Hypersport. Okay? I said if you could have any car that you wanted, no matter the cost, what would it be? Jack? A Prius. Your sights are way too low. Jake? A Stingray Corvette, all right? A McLaren F1. A Dodge Challenger, like the supercharged one on up there. All right. A Batmobile. Hopefully better than the original Batmobile, because from what I've been told, the original Batmobile only did like 30 miles an hour, even when they thought it was flying. But all right, so we have a Prius, a couple fancy ones, then that, and a Stingray. That's about it, huh? No Porsches, no Rolls Royces, no Ferraris, no. I said it would. If somebody was going to give it to you and maintain it, pay for all the maintenance as long as you owned it, all right, including putting new batteries in your Prius every 5 years. In junior high, somebody said that they wanted a Honda Civic. I was like, oh, wow. Yes. What? Okay. So along with his Prius, Jack wants a Ferrari too. All right. One's for around town and one's for weekends. Okay. All right. So if you had something more than a Prius or a Civic, that was not going to be just your everyday vehicle, okay, how many of you think that you would strive to keep it clean, keep it waxed, probably keep it in the garage? Okay, yes, no. How many of you would say, no, I'd drive the sucker every day, I don't care what happens to it? All right, I think you're lying. All right. Most people, when they get something of that value, they're going to keep it out of the rain, keep it out of the snow, keep it out of the mud. They're going to strive to keep it waxed and keep it maintained and do whatever it takes to make it look nice and last as long as they could. Now, let's just say for argument's sake that I am going to represent your best friend, okay? So whoever that might be, or whoever that might become in the future, all right? So, but bottom line is you have a best friend, and your best friend bugs you all the time about borrowing this car that means the world to you. And, you know, you don't really want to loan it to them just because, you know, nobody's ever driven it but you. You got it when it was brand new. You know, you're the only person that's ever driven it. And you just really don't want anybody else to drive it, okay? But at some point in time, you let your guard down and you finally give permission for your best friend to drive your car, okay? So you give them the key fob, because they all have push-button starters now. And so, you know, you finally give them permission to take your car out, and you go through the whole list of, you know, don't drive too fast, and, you know, please be careful, don't go, if it looks like it's going to rain, please pull in a garage, a parking garage or something, you know, because, you know, we can't let it get wet. You know, please don't eat in my car, don't drink in my car, don't have anybody else in my car. And you know, you go through this whole list of things. And so, you know, you give your best friend, you give me your car, and you say, I can have it for the weekend. And so, you know, I take off on Friday, I bring it back Monday morning, and as I'm pulling up your driveway, the first thing that you see is that your nice, shiny car that you gave me on Friday is covered in mud and just filthy. Okay, then as I pull up in front in your driveway, you come running out the door with your mouth partly open, all the way open. You know, you're just in unbelief. And then you happen to notice the right front fender has just a little dent in it and a couple paint chips missing. And so by this time, you're just really not happy at all. And so you're grabbing the driver's door, jerking it open, trying to jerk me out of the seat, you know, before I get my seatbelt off. But, you know, you're jerking me out of the car, so upset at me. And then at that point, you look in the vehicle and realize that, you know, there's a whole bunch of fast food bags, mustard, ketchup spread everywhere, soda spilled on the floor, you know, it stinks inside. How would you feel at that moment? Okay, Cole would be reaching for the gun that he probably kept under the seat and that I didn't know about. But anyway, you'd be really upset, Jake. What? You would be lying through your teeth. At that moment, you would not. You would be a pharisaical hypocrite. And yes, that is redundant for a big one. All right. I don't know. You know, I think all of you, if you would be honest, you'd be really, really upset. Now, why would you be so upset? I mean, realistically, why would you be upset? Yes. Huh? All right, because it's expensive. And what did I not do? All right, I didn't take care of what didn't belong to me, and I didn't follow the rules. Yeah, I didn't follow what you asked me to do. All right, so I betrayed your trust, I betrayed your respect, I dishonored you by not taking care of something that you love, something that was yours or that is yours. Okay? So, when I say the word steward, what do you think of? Steward or stewardship, either one. What comes to your mind? Okay. All right, a servant in a rich home. Money. Jake. All right, taking care of money that's been given to you. Anybody else? All right, Joseph from the scripture. All right, so I think we would agree then that a steward is a manager, one who takes care of the money or possessions of someone else. And so in scripture, if you look at Joseph was whose steward? Potiphar's, right? And how much authority did Joseph have? All of it. I mean, to the point that did Potiphar know what he had in his household? No. All he knew was, I have this really good, faithful steward, and he takes care of everything. Okay? So a steward has great responsibility, and often they have great power. Because if they're good at what they do, the master, the owner, gives them complete control and oversight over everything that is in their household. So, I want to take this thought, and I want to try to give you some practical stewardship principles this morning. Because our premise then, see if you can follow me here, the premise that I want to start with is that stewardship begins in our minds and is an attitude that must become a part of you. Okay? Because this mindset or this attitude has to be that everything belongs to God. All right, we've read in Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those that dwell therein. All right, so why does everything belong to God? All right, because he created it. He made it. All right, he is the maker of all things, whether it's, you know, the person sitting next to you, you know, ultimately, you know, this building that we sit in, you know, all that. And you say, well, God didn't make the building. But you know what? He made the materials that encompass this. All right, you know. So ultimately, everything that we have was made by God. And so God is the owner of all things. So our mindset has to be God owns everything. Everything belongs to God. And anything that I might say that I possess, and we use that term, you know, it's my house, my car, you know, my whatever, you know. But with that thought, we must understand that they actually belong to God, and I'm just the steward of those things. He's just given me the control of them for the time that I'm here on this earth, or for the time in which I have those things. And so my responsibility then is to take care of what God has given me, knowing that at some point in time, I must give an account to him and an answer to him for how well I cared for his possessions. Okay, there's a story in Scripture about a steward, and it's Matthew, or actually I think it's Luke 16, but we won't look there. Let me just paraphrase for lack of for time here. But I believe it's in Luke 16. And the steward was not taking care of the possessions of his master's house real well. And the master found out about it, came to the steward, and said, hey, you know, what are these bad reports I hear about you? And what did the steward say? He said, you know, I'm too proud to go beg for food, and I don't have any other livelihood. So he went out, and he started making deals with all of the owner's creditors and said, you know, hey, how much do you owe my master? Okay, you know, write me a check for this, and, you know, we'll call it even. And so all of a sudden, then the master came back, and he said, hey, you know, you can be a wise steward. You know, you can. But the point I'm trying to make is that he gave an answer to the master. You know, there was a day of reckoning. And so the same is true with us. But often, why do we fail to live realizing that there is a day of reckoning? How many of you feel like Jesus, really and truly, just, you know, be honest, pretend like you're not in a Christian school right now, but how many of you think that Jesus really is going to come back today? I mean, really and truly, anybody? All right, how many of you really and truly think, you know what, I'm going to die today? You know, when I woke up this morning, I just thought, today's it, I'm going to die today. All right, we don't think that way. All right, we don't think that today could be my last day here on this earth, whether by death or by Christ's return. And so what do we think? Well, yeah, I know I have to give an answer to Jesus, but that's like way at the end of my life. That's like 60 years from now. That's 70 years from now. Boy, I'm going to live to be 90, so, you know, good night. You know, I got all this time to make things right. You know, I don't have to give an answer to him today. But you know what? A day of reckoning will come, and we will give an answer to God for how we treated the things that he gave to us. If I do well, then of course I'm going to be rewarded. And we find that over and over again in Scripture. You know, we have the parable of the master that went away, and he gave one servant, you know, 5 talents, 1 3 or 2, and 1 1. You know, and what happened to the guy that had the 5? You know, he was really good with his and got 5 more. And the one that had, it was either 3 or 2, he did really well and got 2 or 3 more. What happened to the guy with 1 talent? Right, he just went and buried it. You know, and then the master comes back and says, you know, hey, what'd you guys do with what I gave you? And the one guy, oh, you know, master, I went out, I worked hard, I did this, and I doubled it. And the next guy said, yeah, hey, I took what you gave me, I doubled it. And the last guy, yeah, master, you know, I was really afraid of you, and, you know, I knew you were a hard guy and that you were really mean, and, you know, I was afraid if I did something and lost it that you'd be really mad at me, so I just hid it in the ground. I didn't do anything with it. And what happened? The master was very upset at him. And he said, you know, you're a wicked and lazy servant. Because he said you could have at least put it in the bank and got interest on it. You know, you could have done something instead of just hiding it in the ground and getting nothing out of it. And so we will be rewarded. But again, if I'm lazy, if I fail to care for the things that God has given me, then I'm going to be punished. Just as the servant that buried his talent. He got nothing. He was punished for that. So, what are areas, big areas, that we need to be good stewards in? All right, our time. Awesome. All right, we need to be good stewards of our time. All right, because all of us, we have the same amount of time every day. And yet, it seems like some people get a lot more things accomplished than others. Why? Because they use their time wisely. They realize that, you know what, I don't want to waste my time. How do we waste our time? What? Okay. All right, by being lazy. Social media. Spending too much time on social media. You know, is it a waste of time to, check your Facebook every now and then or check in with a friend, that was here, moved away, just to see how they're doing? All right, no, there's nothing wrong with that. But if Facebook or any of the social media outlets, if you feel like every time you eat, you have to do a Snapchat and send it to somebody and, put little funky faces and, the big bug eyes and, all of that. And, you have to document every place that you go and, sitting in my car at the light at Cliffdale and, you take a selfie and okay, you're a little obsessive, okay? You're beginning to waste time. All right, and waste a whole bunch of other people's times that are looking at all of that, all right, or their phone dings every time you post a new picture of yourself, all right? So, yes, that would be a waste of time. All right, what else? How else do we waste time? All right, Netflix, your TV, cable, any of those, watching too much TV. All right, is it okay to watch a football game? And I know football games are 3-4 hours long. If you're working really hard and diligently to get everything else done and ahead and whatever, and then you say, okay, I'm going to watch the playoff game. I'm going to set this time aside to do that. All right, that's fine. But if you spend all day Saturday watching college football or every Saturday watching college basketball, whatever's coming up, okay, you might want to recheck that. All right, because at that point, you're starting to waste time. All right, it's a little too much. All right, what's one of Pastor Sean's pet peeves? Video games. All right, and again, can you play 30 minutes video games, an hour of a video game, and be okay? Yes. All right, there's nothing wrong with that. But when that begins to control you and you're playing for hours and hours on end, just like anything else, then yes, you're beginning to waste time. All right, so what else? What other areas do we need to be good stewards in other than our time? What? All right. Money, and I'm going to even expand that and just say things, stuff, or our possessions, all right, including our money. So all of that, whatever you own, okay, why do you need to be a good steward of your money and everything that you own? What? All right, so you don't lose it. All right, we have a whole lost and found full of stuff that would say otherwise. Don't we, Mr. May? Yes. Okay, why else? Did you say to save, okay? All right. And we'll look at a couple more of those things in just a little bit. All right, so we have our time, we have our stuff that we own, things, possessions. What else? What other areas do we need to be good stewards in? Focus on important matters, huh? All right, we'll come back to that one. We're on focusing. How about our knowledge? Okay, we want to be good stewards in our knowledge. All right, and that includes several things, but you know, obviously at this point in time of your lives, you know, you are in an educational mode. Okay, so, and you know, I know obviously once you get done with high school, if you go to college or go in the military, you're still going to have schooling, you're still going to be learning. Okay, if you don't go in the military, you don't go to college, but you go get a job somewhere, you know, that's great too. But guess what? Are there things that you're going to have to learn at a job? Okay, yeah. So no matter what you do, where you go, you're still learning. All right, you're still trying to gain more knowledge, and hopefully your desire will be, I'm going to master this area of knowledge so that I can move on to another area. You know, and if I go to work at, you know, PDQ, Jake, all right, so I'm going to go there, I'm going to learn whatever they teach me first, and I'm going to do really, really well at that. Why? So I can move to another step. I can learn something new. And then once I master that really well, they're going to move me to something else. And once I master that, maybe I'll become an assistant manager. Maybe I'll become a manager. And I know that might not be what you want to do with your life. I get that. But the point is that you're going to realize that if this is the position that God has allowed me to be in, I'm going to be the best cashier that I can be. I'm going to be the best fry cook that I can be. I'm going to be the best assistant manager that I can be. I'm going to be the best manager that I can be. And then when God takes all of that knowledge that I've learned from that and moves me somewhere else, I have all of that to rely upon, and I'm going to be a good steward of what I've learned from those experiences in the customer service and working with unsaved coworkers and on, but I can take all that and I can pull it over into now what God has put me in, whether it's the military or college or another job, and I'm going to utilize that knowledge to help me in this job. And so I'm going to be a good steward of the knowledge that I have. And again, whether it's my academic knowledge, which means that I'm actually going to take an interest in my classes, and you say, well, I'm just really not a math guy, I'm more of an English person. Okay, fine. But you know what? You still need to put effort as much as you can into the math or into the science, whatever thing it is that you don't like so much, because you still want to be a good steward of the knowledge that is being conveyed to you while you are here. All right? So you're going to strive to do your best in all of your classes and to learn what you can. All right, so we have time, we have knowledge, we have our stuff, our money. Jonah said people, or something to that effect. Parents, what'd you say? Our parents' homes. All right. That would fall into stuff and materials. I heard parents or whatever. So are people, are we to be good stewards of people? Okay, yes. All right, what people are we to be good stewards of? All right, coworkers, the people that we don't like, people that we like also. Yes. Our siblings. Great. Who else? Are you to be a good steward of your parents? I mean, think about it. A spouse, yes. But, you know, hopefully none of you have spouses in here yet that we don't know about. But are you to be a good steward of your parents? Okay, yes. You know, whether that means that you're taking care of or helping to take care of their house or what they have. But as being a good steward of your parents means that you realize, that, you know what, my parents are a gift from God. And again, they may not be all that you would hope that they would have been or what you want or whatever, and you can do better when you become a parent, but realize that those are the parents that God has given you for this point in time in your life. And so you have to treat them. You have to do what God expects of you with them. All right, what about your friends? What about a boyfriend and a girlfriend? You know, some of you said your classmates or whatever. You know, one of the things I think, and I guess I didn't really think of it this way when I was your age. I wish I had. But if you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, whose gift are they? All right, God's ultimately, and then who? Well, they're not married. All right, their future spouse. But right now, in today's environment, all right, it's their parents. All right, what does Scripture tell us that children are? Children are a gift from God. All right, so that person that you are sitting next to, they're a gift to their parents. All right? And you need to understand, not only are they a gift to their parents, they're a gift from God to their parents. All right? And so any attempt of you to hurt them, whether physically, mentally, you know, with words or however, you know what? You are harming a gift that God has given to someone else. And we need to understand that even within ourselves, you know what? I am a gift from God to my parents. And if I understand that I am a gift to my parents, we said then we should be good stewards of our parents, but how does that relate? If I understand that I am a gift to my parents, how should that change my thinking or my attitude towards them? Say it again. All right, we follow their rules. What else? Wow, it's really quiet. Mr. Adams, how would you want your children to respond to you, understanding that they are a gift from God to you? All right, be respectful of them. So what happens when you don't agree with them? All right, you are still respectful. All right, if you don't agree with them, you still should be respectful. But should you still follow them, realizing that, you know what, I am a gift from God to them. God has given them the oversight of me, and so he is going to give them the wisdom to know how to counsel me, how to guide me, how to direct me. Should we view ourselves as children in that light? All right, yes. Because you know what? I promise you that your parents love you more than you understand. Okay, those of us that have children. Mr. May, before you had children, could you understand the love that a parent would have for a child? Okay. Mr. Rob, did you understand before you had children what it meant when your parents said, you know, I love you? Yeah, okay, whatever. And I can say the same. You know, before I had children, you know, I thought I knew what it meant to love. But I promise you, once Lauren was born and then Heather, things changed. And it's just a whole different element of love. And I hope that you understand that your parents have a whole lot more wisdom than you do. Okay? You know, at 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 years of age, you know, even if you're 19 years old, you know, I would think your parents wouldn't be any younger than 38, 39, 40. Okay? Somewhere or older. But you know what? I promise you, even if they're 38, they still have more wisdom than you do. And they still love you more than you will ever know until you have children of your own. Okay? And so they want what's best for you. They understand that you might not agree with them, but they want what's best for you. And you have got to give them the benefit of the doubt that, you know what, I may not like what they're saying, I may not totally agree with what they're saying, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they do love me, that they do want what's best for me, that they have a little more wisdom than I have, and so that they see things that I'm not seeing. Because a lot of times what happens when we get focused on something, what do most of us do? What? I heard somebody say something. When you get focused on something or when you make up your mind on something, what normally happens? You ignore anything else that opposes it. Exactly. You know, once you have your heart set on, you know, a dress or a car or whatever, you know what? Somebody could tell you, you know, that, you know, the car is going to fall apart next week and you go, I don't care, I'm still going to get it. You know, that's the one I want. Or whatever, you know. But we've got to understand that if I'm going to be a good steward, and if I'm going to realize that God is the giver of all things, that God owns everything, meaning God not only owns me, He owns my parents, He gave me as a gift to my parents, then you know what? I need to wake up and I need to realize, you know what? I'm going to respect them. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to realize that, you know what, they're not trying to hurt me, they're trying to help me, and they're trying to point me in a right direction, they're trying to help me to have a profitable life in the future, and it's not because they hate me and just want to hold me back. And so as a result of that, I'm going to listen to them because I want to be a good steward. Not just of my parents, but of my friends. And so when you have a friend that gets locked in on something, you know, you need to be the one that goes to them and says, hey, you know, you really need to look at other things. You really need to understand that, you know what, somebody's trying to help you. They're not trying to hold you back, and you need to let go, humble yourself, and listen. Quit being so stubborn. Because, again, that's what often happens to us. All right, so we have our stuff, we have people, we have knowledge, we have time. One last thing, an area to be a good steward in. How about our health or our bodies? Okay, we need to be good stewards of the body that God has given to us. You know, and again, you know, God created your body. God created our bodies. And so, you know, that means that we need to take care of them as best we can. You know, and again, what's our mindset? Well, I can eat whatever I want to now, and I can fill in with the chips and the sugars and all that stuff, and, you know, I'll make it for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. But guess what? What happens 30, 40 years down the road? You know, all of a sudden your arteries are blocked and your kidneys are failing and all this other stuff. Why? Because you didn't eat properly, you didn't exercise properly, you didn't take care of yourself when you should have been, all right? So, again, we don't want to kick that stuff down the road. You know, now all of a sudden, you know, you're 50, which I know a guy that he's 50, he's had, you know, quadruple heart bypasses and all kinds of physical problems, but it's not because it was genetic, it's because he didn't take care of himself. You know, he didn't exercise, he ate garbage, you know, he wasn't taking care of the body that he had been given. And so we need to be cautious about that. All right, let me see if I can persuade you here in just a few other thoughts here. Benefits of being a good steward, all right? What are some benefits of being a good steward? Well, first of all, you'll spend less money, okay? You will spend less money. How will you spend less money by being a good steward? Huh? All right, you'll buy things that are be more wise in your buying, okay? Right, so you won't be wasteful. Okay? You'll buy what you need, and then you will use it wisely. All right, things will last longer. Normally, if you are buying wisely, things will last longer. Why? Because if you're buying things wisely, you will buy things that are maybe better quality, so that they will last longer. All right. Case in point, what generally? I know this might not always be the case, but what will last you longer? A $10 pair of sneakers or a $100 pair of sneakers? Okay, the $100 pair of sneakers probably will last you longer than the $10 ones. Now, one of the things then that you'll have to consider is, would you rather get a $10 pair of sneakers every year, or do you think a $100 pair of sneakers might last you 10 years? Okay, and again, it depends on how much do you wear them, right? Okay, the same thing with clothing. All right, one of the things my dad taught me back when I was a kid is, you know, if you're going to go buy a suit, buy as good a quality suit as you can afford, and then, you know, buy something traditional, buy something that's classic, that will last a long, long time. All right, so when I was in college, I would try to go to, you know, some of the, I guess back then they didn't, I don't know what, today they call them the, I'm going blank, up at Smithfield. The outlets, all right? They weren't really outlets back then, but it was like, you know, stuff that didn't sell firsthand, they'd put in another store and you could buy it there. It was still new. But, you know, I would go and get some very nice suits for $200-$300, $400. And at the time, that was a very expensive suit, all right? And I still have some of them in my closet that I still wear, all right? Now, do I wear a suit every day? No. You know, I wear one once a week normally, maybe sometimes twice a week. But the point is, if you buy something that's a good quality, it'll last you a long time. Okay? So being a good steward means that you're going to look at some of these things. And you're going to realize, okay, you know, what can my money buy that will last the longest? You know, and again, if you're buying a work shirt, you know, don't buy a real expensive work shirt. Why? All right, because you're going to mess it up on the job. All right, so you buy the cheap Fruit of the Loom t-shirt to go out and work in. Why? Because it's $5 and you can just, you know, as soon as you get paint all over it or get it dirty and it won't come clean, you know, it starts ripping, throw it away, put another one on. All right, but if you're going to buy a suit, are you going to be working in your suit? No. That's something that more than likely you're going to be wearing in a little different environment, so you can buy a nicer suit. Then you don't have to buy that many suits. You know, you can buy different ties, different shirts to go with them, so it doesn't look like you're wearing the same thing all the time. And so you spend less money, it lasts longer, and you can afford nicer things by doing that, all right? Because you don't have to replace them as often. Okay. Is it cheaper to do preventative maintenance on things or breakdown maintenance? Was that you, Jake? What'd you say? All right, preventative. All right, why is it cheaper to do preventative maintenance than breakdown maintenance? All right, is it cheaper to have your oil replaced every 5,000 miles and do that for 5 years, or never replace your oil, never check your oil, and in 5 years your engine seizes because it's empty of oil, and then you have to put a whole new engine in? All right, what's cheaper? All right, it's cheaper to replace your oil. All right, you know, for $25, you know, you can take it someplace, have it done for you. So even if you spend $50 a year for 5 years, it's $250. All right, throw an entire rotation and balance and whatever. You know, again, what's cheaper, spending $150 per tire to replace your tires because they're out of balance, or pay $30 twice a year to have your tires balanced and rotated and get the full life of the tire out of them? Well, obviously, it's cheaper to do that, all right? So when you actually are taking care of the possessions, again, that God has given to you, that are a gift from Him to you, realize that, you know what, this isn't my car, this is God's car that I'm just taking care of for Him, then you know what, I'm going to want to take care of it as well as I can, because I want it to last as long as it can. I want to invest in it what I need to so that it will last the longer, so that I have more money available or more time available. You know, if my car is in the shop getting a new engine in, and I'm not going to be able to go very many places, I'm going to have to be, you know, taking the bus or bugging people for rides, and, you know, they're going to take me and drop me off, and I'm going to sit there and waste time waiting for somebody to come back and pick me up or vice whatever. And so I realized that, you know what, all of these things are a part of my life, and so I realized that God wants me to be a steward of what He's given me, and so I'm going to take care of these things to the best of my ability. Okay, the same thing. Is it easier to sell something that you don't want anymore if you've taken care of it, or you've just beat it in the ground and it looks like it got beat into the ground? Okay, obviously, if you've taken care of something, you're going to be able to get more money, it's going to sell more quickly, and you'll be able to recoup more of what you invested in that. All right, classic, you know, we'll just use a car. You know, if you buy a car and you take care of it, you keep it clean, you keep it waxed, you keep the tires rotated, you change your oil, you keep the inside clean, don't leave all your McDonald's sitting in there for months at a time, and, you know, if you spill something, you actually clean it up, you spill a drink, you don't just let it sit there and get ants all over it and then rot through the carpet, you clean it up, mop it up, do all of that, then, okay, you decide to trade it in or sell it. Well, guess what? You'll get more of a return on that if you've taken care of it. You know, if you pull up to a car lot and, you know, your car's filthy, it has dents and scratches all over in it, you know, the guy opens the door and all the bags fall out of it because all the junk you have piled in it, do you think they're going to really offer you very much for it? No, they're not. Okay, so these are just material benefits of being a good steward. And then just really on the side, not material things necessarily, but you know what? God will be pleased and will reward you accordingly if you're a good steward. How many of you believe that God can keep things working longer if you believe they are His? 8 of you, 12 of you. All right. Okay. If you believe that, you know what, if you truly believe that God has gifted you with things and that you're taking care of them for Him. And again, it's got to be the mindset. It's got to start with your attitude. Then you know what? At that point, I'm going to take care of them as best I can. But ultimately, you know, whose washer and dryer is it in my house? Well, it's God's washer and dryer. And as long as I'm taking care of them and not abusing them and I'm doing any maintenance on them that I need to, then you know what? God's going to allow them to run as long as He sees fit to allow them to run. And when He feels that I don't need them anymore or He wants them to be replaced, then that's what's going to happen. And so we need to understand that God can keep things working longer if we truly believe that they're His. Okay, it also reduces stress in our life because if we realize, you know what, these are God's things, you know, the money that He has given me, that's His money. All of that is His. I'm just overseeing it for Him, I'm just taking care of it to the best of my ability. And will God give us more than we can handle? No. All right. Will God give us less than we're capable of? No. All right. So God's going to give me what I can handle. God's going to give me what I need. God knows me better than I know myself or anybody else. And so God's going to bless me according to the talents that He gave me, to the abilities that He gave me. And so I understand, okay, I am God's. Scripture says I'm bought with a price, therefore glorify God in my body, in my spirit, which are His. So I'm going to glorify God. I believe that I'm His. I believe that everything that He gave me are His. And I'm just here taking care of them. And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And so I don't have to be stressed out over it, if that's my attitude. Now, what happens, though, is we're not good stewards of what God's given us. And then we expect God to bail us out. You know, I think Pastor mentioned last night, you know, we buy houses that are more than we can afford. We buy cars that are more than we can afford. We buy clothes that are too expensive. And we buy too many clothes because, you know, we feel like we have to have something new all the time. And then we have to have shoes to go with all the clothes that we bought that we don't really need. And on and on and on. And then all of a sudden, I can't pay my light bill. And so I expect God to bail me out. And God doesn't. And then we say, oh, well, God didn't bail me out. But you know what? That's not the way God works. God expects us to be good stewards of what He's given to us. And within the parameters of which He is blessing us or giving to us. And so we've got to learn those parameters. We've got to live within our means. Philippians 4:11, 1 Timothy 6:8, Hebrews 13:5. All of them teach us to be content. He said God wants us to be content. And so we've got to be content with what we have, realize, you know what, sure, it might be nice to have a bigger house one day, but you know what, I'm not going to go get that until God gives that to me, until God makes that available. You know, sure, it would be nice to go to Duke or Harvard, but you know what, if God only enables me to go to, you know, UNC or Bob Jones or Liberty or Pensacola, and you know what, that's where I'm going to go. You know, if God opens the door for me to be in the military, fine. If God doesn't, and God opens the door for something else, then you know what? I'm okay with that too. I'm going to take what God gives me, and I'm going to be the best steward of that I can. Being a good steward, it enables you to live healthier and longer. And it'll also allow you to accomplish more because you aren't wasting your time. And you aren't stressing out over things. You aren't worried about things that you shouldn't even have to start with. If you were living within your means, if you were living within the parameters of what God would have you to be. And so, really and truly, what is the bottom line for all of us? 1 Corinthians, or as Donald Trump would say, 1 Corinthians 4. I know he was in second, but hey, it still works. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And so, you know what? Bottom line, God says, be faithful. Be faithful with what He has given to you. And again, whether it's your talents, whether it's your abilities, whether it's your friends, your girlfriend, boyfriend, your parents, your siblings, the knowledge, your IQ. You know what? Everybody doesn't have 130 IQ. You know, some people are down lower in the hundreds, 110. But you know what? Be the best that you can be at 110. You know, if you're 130 plus, 140 IQ, then you know what? You need to really excel, because to whom much is given, much is required. And you will be held account for what you do, for how you handle what God has given to you. And so, Father, I pray that You would help us today to be great stewards. Help us to understand, and may each day we realize more and more that you truly are the creator and maker and owner of everything. And Father, you own the air that we breathe. And at any time you chose to cease the production of oxygen, then Father, every one of us would be dead. So Father, help us to realize that our life is a gift from you. Our bodies are a gift from you. Everything that we have is a gift from you. And you expect us to take care of it on your behalf. And then that one day we will give an answer to you for how well we have accomplished that, given the parameters of what you have given to us and the talents and abilities that we have. So, Father, help us to focus on that. Help us to be all that we ought to be for your honor and your glory. In Christ's name, amen.